I'd like for you to pray with me as we open our hearts to God's Word. Father, I believe that you speak, and I ask, Father, that you'd speak to us tonight through your Word, by your Spirit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we might have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to obey. Lord, we just pray that your will be done in the earth, in our lives, and in this service tonight, Father. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God always has a plan. You know, that's good to know. I'm glad that the Lord is never clueless, aren't you? You know, there's never a time when he says, what do we do now? And we do that a lot, right? But the Lord is never clueless. There's never a time when he doesn't know what to do. There's never a time when God doesn't have a plan. You know, it's amazing. In the garden, God had designed this perfect world, and Adam and Eve had it so good. I mean, what a plan. But they messed it all up when they disobeyed God, when they decided to, well, do it their way instead of God's way. But did you know that from the very moment that they messed it up, God had a plan for our redemption? That even as he cursed the serpent, as he cursed Satan, he gave that first promise, that first prophecy of the Savior that was to come. In Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that was the first prophecy of the Messiah who would come and crush Satan's head. God always has a plan. From the very beginning, he had a plan. You know, it didn't happen the way anybody thought that it would. When God redeemed us, when the Messiah came, it certainly didn't happen the way that anybody imagined. Even though there were lots of prophecies, you know, Isaiah 53 is such a fantastic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet people just didn't even have a clue of what was actually going to happen, but God did. He had a plan. He came in the most humble way as a little baby, seeming so weak and frail, born in a stable. Such humble means. Who would have thought? I'm telling you, God had a plan. And as the plan unfolds, wicked men, no doubt inspired by the powers of darkness, take and crucify the Son of God. But God had a plan. 1 Corinthians 2:7 and 8 says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had no clue as to God's plan. But when he rose from the dead, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. He won our ultimate victory. And I want to encourage you tonight that no matter how it looks, God still has a plan. And his plan is good. His plan for you is for victory. It is not for defeat. You know, the powers of darkness thought they had won a great victory. They thought they had defeated the Son of God. But God turned it all around. And I am telling you, it is the same in our lives. Many times it looks like defeat. It looks like the enemy is winning, but the Lord still has a plan. Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, I want to explain something here before we read this in the New International Version. The Lord is not a daydreamer. He does not think idle thoughts like we do. You know how our mind can just wander. Some of you are doing it right now. We just, you know, we have all kinds of stuff fly through our minds, and our minds can just ramble anywhere in any way, and, you know, all kinds of things we can imagine. But you need to understand that the God of the universe, who has all of the power to fulfill his thoughts, listen, his thoughts are not just idle thoughts, not just some passing, you know, thought in his head, but they're plans. What the Lord thinks about you, he intends for you. He plans for you. And so, in the NIV, it words it this way: "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, you need to understand a little bit of the background of when this great promise was given. The children of Israel had disobeyed God and rebelled against God and just in many ways forsaken the Lord. And so they had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. For 70 years they were taken away into captivity. And this is when God gives them this great promise. Here his people are in captivity. God still has a plan, and it's a good plan, that when they turn to the Lord, he is going to do something good for them. His plan isn't to harm them. No, he wants to prosper them. He wants to give them a hope and a future. You know, we often do foolish things and maybe even disobey God or rebel. Maybe we get ourselves in a mess that is not the Lord's making. But God still has a plan. And his plan is good. Not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. According to Webster's, a plan is a method or way of doing something that is decided on beforehand. And you know what? I'm glad the Lord knows what he's doing beforehand. We wing it a lot, don't we? That's one of the reasons we get in trouble. But the Lord always has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And that plan for us, three things we want to talk about the plan of God here. He says very plainly, number one, he wants to prosper us. Prosperity means to succeed or to thrive. I've got news for you. God's plan is not for you to fail. Now, sometimes we fail. It's not because it was God's plan. No, his plan is for us to prosper. You know, sometimes when you think of prosperity, people only think of material things. And I want you to understand that prosperity in the scripture certainly includes material things. But it is much broader than that. Listen, you can have all the money in the world and not be prosperous. I mean, you can be depressed. You can be suicidal and have lots and lots of money. That's not real prosperity. See, God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want it to have you. And we're not supposed to seek stuff. Amen? No, we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he adds all those other things to us. But we need to realize, though, that God is for us. He's not against us. No, he wants to bless us. He wants, his plan is that we would prosper. Listen, that's talking about your family. That's talking about ministry. It's talking about all kinds of intangible things like having peace and joy and love in your life. Things that money can't buy. By the way, when we seek things, I just want to remind you, there's a Bible word for that. It's called covetousness. And it calls it idolatry. So we don't seek things. We seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And he takes care of all that stuff. But I'm just telling you, his plan is to prosper you. Second, his plan is not to harm you. I'm glad that the Lord is not out to get me. Because I got news for you. If he's out to get you, he's going to get you. If he wants to harm you, there ain't nothing that anybody can do about it. But his plan is not to harm you. See, a lot of the religious world is really confused about that. You know why? Well, there's a lot of terrible things that happen in this world. There's a lot of harm in this world. Can you say amen to that? I mean, there's a lot of harm. And so they just say, well, you know, we don't know why God does these things, why God wants to hurt everybody. That's not the plan of God. No, his plan is good. See, God is a good God. What kind of plans does a good God have? Good. I mean, it's 2 plus 2. But for some reason, religious people get all messed up in their mind with the thoughts of the world and judging God and questioning God and trying to put God in their box and think that God is a man. And I'm telling you that his plans are good. You say, all this harm, all this trouble, and all this heartache you see in this world, that's not the plan of God. You want to see the plan of God, you look at heaven. We've been talking about that, right? But his plan is not to harm you. And I want you to understand, that doesn't mean that you're never going to go through anything in this world, because you are. The Apostle Paul sure did, didn't he? And so will we. And some people get this idea. Well, okay, so if I'm serving God, everything's just going to be peachy. Everything's going to be perfect. You're living in a fantasy world, and it won't last long. And people who think that always get disillusioned with the Lord. But God never said that you weren't going to have any trouble. No, he said in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so when I tell you that his plan is not to harm you, that doesn't mean that you're not ever going to be harmed or that you're not ever going to go through some trouble in this world. But it does mean that he's going to work it all together for your good. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, he has a plan, and he is able to work it all together. Even when evil men do terrible things, God is able to work it all together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The third thing we know about the plan of God, it tells us here in Jeremiah 29:11, is that his plan includes a hope and a future. Hope is a confident trust with the expectation of fulfillment. You see, biblical hope is way different than the way people use the word hope today. You know, you could interchange the word hope with the word wish. I mean, I hope the Dallas Cowboys will win next year. You're wishing. That is not biblical hope. Biblical hope is an expectation. It's not just, well, you know, we wish, but we're expecting. Here's the real key to this, to hope. Your hope has to be in God. If your hope is in man, if your hope is in the things of man, if your hope is in the government, if your hope is in the economy, whatever, if your hope is in anything else, you will be disappointed. But when your hope is in the Lord, that's a sure thing. That's an anchor for the soul. But his plan is to give us a hope and a future. And God has a future for you. Listen, you might have a lot of past, but he still has a plan. And that future is to be brighter. See, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. That's what the scripture says. And when you serve the Lord, I'm telling you, you should always get your hopes up. See, the world always says, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. You know why? Because you're going to be disappointed. Don't get your hopes up. But if your hopes are in the Lord, you can get your hopes up. God is worthy of your hopes. You can trust him. You know, a lot of things happen to us in this life that are certainly to our harm. People will do things that will hurt you and discourage you. And maybe crush your hopes. How about Joseph? God had such a plan for a young man that he would raise him up and put him in a place of authority and power where he could be a great blessing to others. As he said later, to the saving of many lives. And Joseph, instead of just, you know, going to college and working his way up through the ranks and everything is, you know, the way that we might expect it to be, well, his family, his brothers hated him, sold him into slavery, falsely accused and put in prison. It is 12 years later before God quickly, suddenly fulfills his plan for Joseph. And you know, I don't know why everything happened the way it did for Joseph. I don't know if he entered into pride. I know that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Some have conjectured that he brought it on himself by telling his brothers and telling his family about his dreams of how God was going to raise him up? I don't know. Maybe. I do know this, a lot of the time we bring trouble on ourselves, and many times pride is somewhere involved. But I want you to see this, though, in the life of Joseph, his brothers who did such evil and harm to him could not stop the plan of God. God still fulfilled it. In fact, you know this, but in Genesis 50 and 20, he told his brothers, what you intended for harm, God intended for good. And God still fulfilled his plan in Joseph's life. And you need to know this, that what harm others may do to you, what obstacles may come your way, God is bigger. And he still has a plan. Don't you know there had to be times when Joseph just wondered what was going on? I mean, things just went from bad to worse for him. And when we don't know what's going on, we need to know this. He still has a plan. We may not be able to see it. We may not be able to understand it. We might say, well, that's not the way that I would do it. You know, there's been a few times in my life when I prayed and God did it the way I asked him to. Very few. There have been so many times when God fulfilled his plan in a way I would have never imagined. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can you just imagine yourself trying to explain to a little child? Well, let me just put it this way. Let's just suppose that you are a mechanic. I want you to explain to a little child how that motor works. Explain that transmission to a little child. I mean, surely you can explain all of this new high-tech technology, hooking them up to computers and how that all works, and explain that to a four-year-old. Surely, in whatever field you have studied and have expertise, you can explain the complexities of it to a three-year-old. How is it that we think that we can understand everything that God is doing? It is ridiculous. His ways are higher, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I can assure you, if you look to the scripture, you will see that over and over and over and over and over, God has a plan, but so often it is not the way we would have thought. And here's what you need to know. He still has a plan. Whether you can figure it out or not, whether you understand or not, God still has a plan. Now, sometimes we know the plan of God. We know what his plan for the church is. It is his plan that he will build his church and the very gates of hell will not be able to stop it. That's the plan of God for the church. We know certain things that are God's plan from his word. He tells us what he intends. He tells us what his will is. Job 42 and 2, in the NIV, Job said this, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Now, this is when Job has lost everything. And this is before Job has gotten anything back, before God blessed him back with twice as much. But this is when God has appeared to Job and has spoken to him, and Job has a revelation. And by the way, Job said what was right about God. You know, I know that because at the end of the book, the Lord tells his three friends, you better go have Job pray for you because he said what is right about me, not what you said. But all I want to get out of this for tonight is no plan of God's can be stopped. He has the power to fulfill his plan in our life. And we need to remember that when the world is all turned upside down, see, Job's world was all turned upside down, and yet he says, no plan of yours can be stopped. And God has a plan to give you a hope and a future. There may be some younger adults here tonight who are discouraged, maybe because mistakes have been made and there's been disappointments and you're looking at time. God still has a plan. Just like he did for Joseph, he does for you. And some are maybe a little on the older side and you're thinking, but how does God still have a plan for me? I'm in my latter years. Well, who knows what God may do through you? He has certainly used teenagers, but he has also used people in their 80s and 90s and hundreds. Yes, he has. Psalm 92:14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The New King James, you know, really cheated us there with that fresh. King James says fat and flourishing. Amen. And some of us have mastered that one, right? We see God's fulfillment. Anyway, but I just want you to understand there is not one person here tonight that God is unaware of. There is not one person here tonight that is an accident. No, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. Before you were even born, he had a plan. Jesus Christ came into a world of darkness and despair. He brought light and hope. And I'm telling you, we all go through failures, setbacks, hurts, heartaches, disappointments, brokenness. And in those times, it's hard to see the plan of God. But we need to always know God still has a plan. When you're discouraged, when you're down, listen, whether it is an attack from Satan or some person or something happened in this world, I'm telling you, God still has a plan. Listen to me. Many times we miss the plan of God because we are pursuing our own plan. His plans are always good. His plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. But I'm telling you that many times we get ourselves in trouble because we pursue our own plans instead of the plans of God. Here's a new definition for repentance. Well, that's when you choose God's plan instead of yours. That's when you choose His will instead of yours. His kingdom instead of yours. Like Jonah in the belly of a big fish. Sometimes we got to have an attitude change. Sometimes we just got to, you know, have an awakening, like the prodigal, come to ourself. Jonah had one of those experiences in a fish. It's not quite like the cartoon depiction of that. 3 days with no light. 3 days stuck in the organ, the digesting organ of a fish. 3 days. It's amazing that he didn't go insane. But you see, God had a plan, and the man didn't want to get with the plan. What? There's a plan of God for Jonah here. There's also a plan of God for a city called Nineveh. Now, the Lord told Jonah to go and to prophesy judgment to that city. Well, that must be the plan of God. No, it's not. God's plan was for them to come to repentance. God's plan was to restore them. See, His plan is always for good. Now, if you want to, you know, if you want to get all weird about it, you can talk about the three different kinds of the will of God and blah, 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 and okay, that wasn't plan A then, all right? No, God's plan was that Jonah would go there and preach repentance and judgment, and the people would turn to God and be restored. That was God's plan. And for Jonah, he was having such a hard time because he didn't want to get with the plan. And the same thing is true for us. It is amazing to me how that Christians today get caught up in the attitudes of the world and forming their own plan, forming their own goals, and saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. God, please bless it. When James tells us, don't boast and say, I'm going to go here and do this and get gain. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. All such boasting is evil. Well, this is my goals and I'm going to do this. All such boasting is evil. Now, let me tell you when it's not evil. When you get a plan from God. When God is giving you the plan, that's different. But so often, we just get the plan of man instead of the plan of God. And I'm telling you, the plan of man and the plan of God usually don't look just alike. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. I'm telling you, His priorities tend to be different than the priorities of natural man. He's concerned about the world. He's concerned about a city like Nineveh, a bunch of wicked, wicked people. And you know what? You know what religious America would say today? Yeah, just destroy them, God. Get them. Just let them have it, God. But no, the Lord wanted to save them. Now, I'm just using that as an illustration to show you that so often the plan of God is not like the plan of man. And oh, how we need God's plan. In Proverbs 19:21 in the NIV, it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We just finished the series on the kingdom, and I talked a lot about praying for God's will. That is His plan. His plan is to do His will, but we got to pray for it. We got to believe for it. And when we pray for His will, I'm telling you, that's what we're praying for. He still has a plan. See, what's His will? Well, His will is to heal. His will is to restore. His will is to bless. His will is to set free. I'm telling you, all those things are part of the plan of God. I'm going to wrap this up. Philippians 2:13, it says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, He still has a plan for your life, but we just got to get with the plan. Get with the plan of God. Put our plans down and say, God, what's Your will? What do You want to do? And it's amazing what God can do when we do that. One last time, I want to encourage you. Doesn't matter what's gone on. Doesn't matter where you're at in your life. Doesn't matter what other people have done to you. Listen, He still has a plan. Trust Him. Trust Him. You can trust Him. The plans I have for you are good, to prosper you, not to hurt you, but to give you hope and a future. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You that You are a good God. Lord, forgive us for times when we have doubted or we have struggled, Lord, to know that, when we have questioned. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that truth set free tonight, Lord, that we would be free from the deceptions of the enemy of our soul, who so wants to discredit You, Father. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for the discouraged, Lord, for those that are disillusioned. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that tonight that hope would fill their heart. Oh, Father, I pray they would be strengthened in the inner man. Father, that they would be able to rise above all the past, all the heartache, all the trouble, all the disappointments, Lord, and look to You to fulfill Your plan in their life. I thank You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you go. If you would like special prayer, I or other prayer partners would be glad to pray with you. Just make your way up here. Lord bless you. Have a good night.